There is that point where you have to say, yes, I'll do anything and go anywhere. I think we have to be a little, I think there's a balance in there of gaining advice and counsel from our elders. But at the same time, I think sometimes, at least in the West, we're waiting for that writing on the wall to point us in a specific direction. And usually it is very specific. You know, a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, said once, well, I've got the time and the money. I'm just going to go with you.
Oh.
And he was willing to go, and the opportunity was there. You know, I hear a lot, I'm waiting for opportunities. Opportunities are everywhere. I don't think we have to look very far. It's really just a willingness and just being able to discern in that where those doors are and just pursuing them. You know, if I've known many people who have pursued places like China and never ended up there, but I don't think they made a mistake pursuing it.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the 7th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. My name is Mike Falkenstein, and I am the president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst and your host for this, the latest episode of the podcast. And I am so excited that you're here with me for a couple of reasons. Number one, I do have another interview episode for you, which I've just really loved the content that we're seeing in these interview episodes, but then also specifically because I got a chance to interview my good friend, Steve Shermer, president and founder at Silk Road Catalyst. And as many of you know, Steve and I have been involved together with a number of projects, most notably the Missions Talk Facebook Live episodes. So if you want to catch those, go to facebook.com/missionstalk, and you can catch those episodes. And so, you know, whenever you have an opportunity to interview a friend on the podcast, you know, for me anyway, it's just extra special. And so glad that Steve was with us. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, because I just would really agree with Steve. As you heard in our intro, I think that many Western Christians are kind of, as they want to make themselves available to the Lord to do anything and go anywhere, they kind of wait, kind of this writing on the wall and waiting for opportunities. And I just really agree with Steve that opportunities abound. And, you know, I think sometimes in finding out where God wants you to serve, to, you know, in the Great Commission fulfillment, sometimes it is kind of a process of trial and error. I know I had something like that recently in the last couple of years in my own life. And it is only in that time where you, okay, Lord, I think you're doing something here. And it's not until you actually go out and do it and you find out, ooh, actually, that's not really a good fit, or it is a good fit. And so I agree with Steve. I think you're really going to enjoy the episode. And again, so glad that you're here with me. As you listen to the episode, enjoy it, then share it with your friends. Thanks again for being here with us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. And I have the honor to be with a good friend of mine, Steve Shermer. And Steve, you know, I know we've known each other. I think we're approaching about 4 years and of knowing each other, and now we've had a chance to travel together internationally, and you know, we're doing a Facebook Live show together, and man, it's just been so great to get to know you better and better, and I'm so glad that you are now on the podcast. I'm wondering if, to kind of start us off, why don't you give everyone kind of a, you know, here's who you are. Give us a little bit of a minute or two on, you know, your ministry and what you do, what you guys do with Silk Road Catalyst. Give folks a quick introduction to you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It's different going from the Missions Talk to your Catalytic Podcast now. And but it's a pleasure to be on here. And so just a brief 40,000 foot view of Silk Road Catalyst. We are a multinational family. We, as a ministry family, we focus on disciple making and church planting among people we call gospel deprived. We've got Americans and Indians and Nepalese and on our team. And, you know, we're working in a couple of countries, what we call the Silk Road region, about four countries actually in Asia. So, you know, we're excited about what God's doing and just humbled that he's allowing us to be part of it and just thankful that we get to share a little bit here and at other places.
That's great. That's great. And yeah, it's been fun to see over the last years that you and I have known each other just how God has really grown your ministry and you've been adding some staff. And I'm sure that's got to be humbling and satisfying for you to see how God's growing your ministry like that.
Yeah, it's been great to see just how he's brought people to us and not just Americans, but and having our South Asian teams, not people who are just merely national partners, but they are actually part of our ministry family. And so it's been really great to get to know them and spend time with them and serve with them and just do life with them.
Mm. That's awesome. That's great. So, Steve, in this episode, I would love to hear three things, really, three areas that we'll talk about. So at first, just give us kind of a little background on kind of how you came to know the Lord, any sort of significant events that happened to get you to that point. Give folks an idea of sort of how you came to know Christ.
Well, it's kind of a mix of growing up in church and several things. I mean, I did grow up in a church, but I didn't become a believer till I was 20. I was more of the pseudo believer for a long time. You know, you say a certain prayer and you're good to go. But just, you know, getting into high school and college and just, you know, not just turning my back, I just didn't really like it. And I didn't want anything to do with church. And so it really was when I was 20, I had a friend, my roommate at the time, who I'm still friends with and have known him for a long time. He decided one day to go to a Catholic church. You know, he grew up in a pseudo-Catholic family, I would say. They weren't committed or dedicated, but he went. And somehow that caused me to get jealous. And so I decided to go find the Baptist church down the street. So I find a really large one that looked cool and had all the bells and whistles. So I went there one Sunday and just kept going. And about 6 months after that, that was when God showed me in a kind of a special service of my lack of regeneration, lack of relationship with him, that I was just the pseudo-Christian by name, but not in reality. So It was the end of April-ish of 1995 when I became a believer. And of course, I'm very thankful the church I went to, the pastor over the college and singles ministry took me under his wing and just started discipling me almost immediately for several years, just meeting with him week after week and just learning from him, watching him, observing him in life and his ministry and comparing his words to his actions. And God just did a work in me during that time to get me to where we are today.
Wow. That's great. I love those stories because it really does show the impact that one person can have, right? That, you know, he took you under his wing like that. And how long did you meet together with him?
So we ended up meeting for 3 or 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Just almost every week for 3 or 4 years.
That's great. That's really great. I just think, yeah, for a lot of those listening, that's a good sort of marker to sort of remember, because if you have a young Christian that you know, and you feel like you could help them to grow, just begin getting them in God's word and teach them how to share their testimony and, you know, some simple things, it really does have a deep impact, that weekly commitment, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, well, that's great. That's great. So you're 20, you really, I don't know if it was a rededication of your life or for the first time you really dedicated your life. Actually, your testimony is similar to my wife's in that, you know, she actually grew up in the church, but didn't actually, you know, become a Christian, a really a devoted follower of Christ until she was 19 or 20. And so I think that's a similar story amongst, especially maybe people who, you know, grew up in the church and whatnot. So give us then kind of the next steps in that story in terms of, okay, you've met with this guy, you definitely are a devoted follower of Jesus. And then at some point you decide, hey, God's calling me to more, to do more, to, you know, to be involved. And, you know, so kind of take us from that step of meeting with that guy for 3 or 4 years to, you know, I know you've lived overseas and kind of in that period of the transition between, hey, I'm just a Christ follower and I'm content with that, to, hey, I think God really wants to use me for more. Give us an idea of what that looked like for you.
Yeah, so that started about 3 months after I became a believer in 95. So I was, because I'd gotten immediately into the college ministry of the church, since I was in college at the time, we went and I think it was early August. I don't know if they still do it, but there was an annual, I call it the youth camp for college students. And so out in Glorieta, New Mexico, at the Glorieta Conference Center, I think it was owned by Southern Baptist. I don't know if it's still owned by them or if they've sold it. But, you know, for many, many years, they did what they call Student Week. About 2,000 college students come together, like a youth camp, and just a beautiful place. So I got to go out there for that week. And it was in that week where I had this strange feeling of doing God wanted me into vocational ministry, as we like to call it. Mm-hmm. But I said no, because the moment I had that sense, my thoughts went to, even though I had never considered it, my thoughts went to, if I say yes, God's going to send me to some far off land. I'm going to be stuck living in a hut, eating bugs, without any running water, and around people I can't, you know, it was just this whole scary picture, really superficial picture that I was afraid of at the time. And so I said, God, the answer is no. But in my heart, I said, if I can say yes to that, then I'll say yes to a vocational ministry direction. And it took 4 years really of being discipled by Jared, of getting involved in various, you know, the college ministry, youth ministry, homeless ministry of our city out in Arlington, Texas, just getting involved in all those, being discipled. Then we were, you know, every year back at Glorieta, then 4 years later, back at Glorieta again. And, you know, a lot of things had changed. I was in the inaccurate mindset that, you know, everyone's talking about global missions. Why aren't we talking about local missions more? You know, everybody wants to go abroad, but no one's serving, that whole lie that we get caught up in.
Right.
Really a misconception of what's really happening out there. And I was really hard into that, but it was in that week where I could really sense that was the second time I sensed the call, because I hadn't had it again. But in that week again, I really sensed the call. And at that moment, I think I was more afraid to say no than I was to go where I was afraid to go to. Again, there wasn't anything inside of me that says, yes, I'm going to leave the country, because I was pretty adamant I wasn't. But at that moment, I could finally say yes to going to that place. And it was in that moment I said, okay, yes. But still my mind was college ministry in the U.S., in that realm, you know, what does it take to do that? And then 3 months later, I was with my dad, and we had a strange conversation even for between me and my dad. And I still blame him for what I do today. Is we're at a conference and we're in the car going back to my apartment. And my dad just randomly says out of nowhere, you know, I think you should go out of the country for a short-term trip just to experience something different from what we have. And I'm thinking, well, you don't even experience this. Why are you telling me?
Like you've not done that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just brushed it off and went home and went to bed and decided, you know, this wasn't for me. But the next morning on the way to church, I can still see the exact place I was at on the road in my car, what I was driving by when I you know, whether it was, however you want to say it, hearing God say, go to China. And in that moment, I knew I was going to go visit short term. I went to Jared, the college pastor, and I told him, and he said, wow, what a coincidence. We have a trip next summer.
Oh.
And so I said, okay, I'll go. Didn't need to pray about it. Didn't need to think about it. I knew it was the right thing to do. And so I went, and the trip changed my life. And God allowed me to meet someone who had never heard the name of Jesus, never seen a Bible, never heard the gospel. And this was not a village person out in the middle of nowhere. This was a highly educated man who spoke great English, who had a visa heading to Canada to live and work. And by the end of our conversation, I had learned he had never heard of the Bible, never heard the name of Jesus, never heard anything about Christianity up until that moment where I had that conversation with him. And that conversation changed the whole trajectory of my life.
Wow. Well, Steve, that's wow. That's awesome. A lot of follow-up questions about that. Before we get to that, Steve, let me just, this seems like a good time to take a quick break and let our friend Tom Mueller step in and say a few words. And Steve, when we get back, I'd love to hear more about your interactions with that guy, kind of how that went, how that God continued to use that in your life. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our latest book resource is titled What You Do Shows Who You Are, a book on the 6 marks of a disciple of Jesus. We believe that this book is a great way for you to grow spiritually and then take that growth and share it with others. Intended to be a small group or Sunday school class study, we believe that spiritual growth happens best as you work through each of the 6 marks with a group of other believers. Be sure to get a copy for each of the folks in your small group today. Available on Amazon.com.
So, Steve, in just before the break, you were telling us about this trip that you had to China, and it sounds like you had a similar experiences to what I had in my first trips to China. You know, in those days, it was true that very few, even in cities, you know, knew about Jesus. And so continue that story. I'm interested in particular sort of your reaction to this highly educated man in a major city who had never heard about Jesus. Did that just kind of blow your mind that he had never heard the name of Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard about people like that. Even before my trip, I had read up on it. I'd read up on people who didn't have access to Bibles and even gotten involved a little bit of getting money to help get Bibles into the hands of people. And at that time, specifically in China, because that was what was being highlighted. Mm-hmm. So I had heard about these people, but, you know, never being face to face with one, I didn't really comprehend that they actually existed. And it was in that moment that that God just opened my eyes to help me see that these people are real. They do exist. Many of them are in smaller places where they may not have access to a lot of information, but there are people in large cities in Asia and the Middle East who are also in that category who have never heard anything. And so that really just changed, that whole conversation changed my life.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? So you finished, before we talk about you finishing the trip, I am curious to know, this highly educated man, did you get to tell him much about Jesus, or did you get to have any spiritual conversations with this guy?
Yeah, I actually got to share the gospel with him. And one of the things he said at the end, which really prompted my questions to learn about his background, was he said that this is true information. This is what his people in China needed to hear. He cautioned me about the threat that I would face if I continued to tell people.
Oh.
And so he acknowledged that it was what his country needed. And but at the end, and so then I did ask him, well, do you think this is true? And he said yes. In the whole explanation of all that. But then he said, but I can't embrace it, because if I do, I'll lose my job, I'll lose my family, I'll lose everything. Wow. And so I can't accept it. Even though I know it's true, even though I know my people need it, I can't, because I'll lose everything if I do. And that also, that was part of the conversation that really impacted me, because not only did I meet someone who had never heard anything, but within an hour's conversation, he went from never hearing it to hearing everything, to not to being really an atheist, to believing that it's true, but in the end saying no.
Right.
Because it's, you know, for an American mindset, we think, well, how do you say no? Well, they don't have the independent mindset mentality that we have
right.
as fully as we have here in the U.S., as you know. But, and so they're very communal in their thinking and even decision-making processes. So the fact that he had to think about that, and I respected that. I don't know what's happened since then, and we never stayed in touch after that. I don't even know how we got to our, you know, where we were at, because it was really just college students invited.
Oh.
And he didn't fit in that category. So and we weren't even supposed to be really diving into the full gospel conversation that evening with a big group. It was just the way God worked out the circumstances. And so I really got to view a broad spectrum of stuff with this guy, and just everything changed me, just realizing in that moment, if there's people like this who really do exist, how could I do anything else other than helping do everything I can to ensure they get the gospel?
Oh, right. That's great. So, wow, that's great. And it does illustrate the decisions that Chinese were having to make in those days, right? That, I mean, you think about that. If you think that the gospel was true, but literally it's like my whole life could be on the line, and to accept it, that's a big decision, right? And so you come back from this trip. What happens next? So, because obviously you could have just come back, okay, great experience, I'm just going to continue in some career somewhere, or just not do full-time ministry. So how did God lead you to then kind of take, what did he do in the kind of the next steps for you?
Well, I came back to the U.S. after about 6 weeks, and I decided to pursue a certain direction with an organization that my church was associated with. But about 3-4 months into that, I realized that really wasn't the direction God wanted me to go. And he wanted me to take a huge step of faith. And before I took that step, I went to Jared. I talked to him about it. I went to other people. I talked to them about it. I actually went back for Christmas time. One of the guys that went with me during the summer said, "Hey, I want to go back for Christmas. Will you go?" I said, "Sure, why not?" And then about a month or so into preparing for that, he decided, sorry, I'm not going.
Oh.
And so I had a decision to make, but I decided, well, I've been raising all this money and I've got the money to go. And someone had walked up to me and handed me a $2,000 check and said, "Here you go."
Wow.
And I was like, all right. I said, I'll just go by myself. So on my second international trip, I went alone. Traveling alone. Now, I still had the people on the ground that my church had a partnership with. So I went back to work with them. And
okay.
I'm the kind of person that once someone leads me down a path, if I learn something, I can replicate that. It doesn't take much for me to learn how to replicate something.
Right.
And so I just ordered the same tickets, reserved the same hotels, and did everything the exact same way that I learned from the person who did it during the summer. And I went back on my own and stayed on the campus by myself and interacted with the missionaries here and there, but went back and talked with the missionary there, told him what I sensed God was telling me. And I said, well, I told myself, if he would affirm that, then I will just step in faith and just go and just see what the Lord does. And he did. At least verbally, he affirmed it. And I came back and just quit my job and just dove right into it. And then for the next 9 years, I did travel over there frequently. I traveled to a few other places, was also involved in international student ministry in the Dallas area.
Right.
And so I just did that full time until we moved over there and spent time over there and then came back. And after 4 years and not knowing we weren't going back, all that led to starting Silk Road Catalyst and where we're at now.
Oh, well, that's exciting. That's really great. And Certainly, it seems like a thread that I'm hearing from you, which is similar to what I'm hearing from other folks that are I've been able to interview, is that at some point you had to have sort of this willingness to just say, God, what, you know, whatever it is that you want, I'm willing to do it. Is that, am I picking that up correctly? I mean, there was some point it's like, God, just use me if you want to use me. That that seems like that was a thread in your story as well.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. There is that point where you have to say, yes, I'll do anything and go anywhere. I think we have to be a little, I think there's a balance in there of gaining advice and counsel from our elders. But at the same time, I think sometimes, at least in the West, we waiting for that writing on the wall to point us in a specific direction. And usually it is very specific. You know, a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, said once, well, I've got the time and the money, I'm just going to go with you.
Oh.
And he was willing to go, and the opportunity was there. You know, I hear a lot, I'm waiting for opportunities. Well, opportunities are everywhere. I don't think we have to look very far. It's really just a willingness and just being able to discern in that where those doors are and just pursuing them. You know, if I've known many people who have pursued places like China and never ended up there, but I don't think they made a mistake pursuing it.
That's right.
I know one in particular where they got all their finances in order and they wanted to move abroad, and they had great jobs and they had put everything together just to make sure that they didn't have any loose ends here in the States that would prevent them from going. And the moment they got to that position, God changed the direction of their life and sent them in the direction of adopting kids instead of moving abroad. But the pursuing of the moving abroad wasn't wrong for them. It was right because it was a direction they knew, and they were pursuing everything they could to get in the spot where they could go. But then when it was time, God clearly made it clear what they were to do, and that was to begin pursuing adopting children.
Wow. And maybe it took the first step of just sort of getting ready for that, to get them ready for, you know, the adopting children, right? In other words, there's just really no wasted. I mean, if you're really pursuing God's will, there's no wasted time there. I mean, God was preparing them for actually what he really did want for them. So I love that story. So, Steve, before I let you go, let me just ask you one more question. Obviously, you know, with our ministry, with 1-8 Catalyst, we really do want to train and equip Christians to reach their world for Christ. And so as you look out at the Western church today, what would be the one thing that you would say to them, if there are church leaders that are listening, and maybe even just people that are actively involved in church, you know, have some influence there, just one thing that they could do to enable their congregations to become fully devoted followers of Christ that are bearing fruit? I know you deal with a lot of churches. You're in a lot of churches. Obviously, you are a member of a church now. What would that one thing be that you would recommend to them to really kind of supercharge, you know, bearing fruit for Christ in their churches?
I think it's, I think of it as in a couple of steps. Number one, emphasizing scripture, knowledge of scripture, knowing scripture. If you're moving abroad or getting involved in any missional effort is based on a conference, I'm trying to think of the word, but just the excitement and all that of a conference or a message. And it's just an immediate passion that is driving you to go that direction, that's going to fizzle out. That always fizzled out. If that's all you've got, you're not going to pursue it very far. Mm. And if you do get abroad or anywhere, you're just not going to last if it's based on just passion of a conference or something. So it's really got to be grounded in scripture and not just the knowledge, because you know, there's a lot of people with knowledge of scripture that aren't necessarily obeying scripture.
That's
so they
right.
really go hand in hand. And, you know, and that's part of what impacted me with the guy who discipled me. It wasn't just his teaching of it and helping me learn it. It was teaching it. He was modeling it. He was living it. And then he wanted me to do the same thing. So he wanted me to learn it. He wanted me to live it. And he wanted me to model it. He wanted me out there talking with people and sharing with people. He encouraged me to disciple people, you know, younger believers than I. Mm. And so it really is a process, because when you get to the field and it gets really difficult and almost feels impossible to stay or even want to stay, it's where you're grounding is what's going to help you.
That's right.
If you're grounded in simple passion, you'll go home, pretty sure of it. But if you're grounded in scripture and what it says, and that you understand the difficulties will come and they are coming periodically, you know, you're better equipped to stay and endure the long term. So really the learning and the application of scripture.
That's good. Yeah, obviously, yeah, having that high view of scripture and the importance of not only knowing it, but applying it is certainly key, isn't it? That's right. Well, Steve, I really appreciate your time and the opportunity to do this together with you and to hear your story. And actually, even though I've known you for a number of years, I actually learned a few things myself. So that's really great. I'm thankful for the time. And give folks, before we leave, an idea of if they want to get in touch with Silk Road Catalyst and learn more about what you're doing, what are the best ways for them to do that?
Well, the best way is just go to our website, silkroadcatalyst.com. They can also go to our Facebook page, which is, our name is Silk Road Catalyst. If you put facebook.com/silkroadcatalyst or twitter.com/srcatalyst, those are the three main avenues that people can connect with us and even find a way to connect with me.
Okay, great. And I'll highlight just quickly, Steve, I know that to South Asia, you guys occasionally have trips, and I know you're looking in particular for medical professionals. Is that right?
Yeah. So right now we've been doing several medical clinics over the last couple of years. We're going to be doing more next year. And so we are looking for doctors, nurses, EMTs, anyone with medical experience that can triage or treat patients in a simple, basic clinic, not a intensive clinic or any surgical procedures, but just basic working in some low-income communities. And so we do have some coming up at the beginning of 2021 that we would love to have people join with us to do that. And they'd be working directly with some of our missionaries on the ground.
Well, that's great. So medical professionals, if you're listening, that's a direct opportunity for you to be involved. So we're helping you out there. So, well, Steve, thanks again, and sure appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.